Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Russian President Vladimir Putin today vowed to fix Russia's economic woes within 2 years. Putin also displayed a defiant stance toward the West, which he insisted was still trying to destroy Russia. Putin says that Western economic sanctions over Russia's actions in Ukraine was a factor behind Russia's economic crisis, accounting for roughly 25 to 30% of the ruble's troubles. As Putin spoke, the Russian currency was trading at 61 rubles to the dollar. That's up from the historic low of 80 to the dollar that it hit earlier this week. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending December the 11th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 17.5. Next year, 1.2. Corn this year, 27.3. Next year, 0.2. Soybeans this year, 25.6. Next year, 12.9. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 111,580 metric tons of hard spring wheat for delivery to Mexico, split between the current marketing year and next marketing year. Also headed out the door this morning, 126,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 14-15 marketing year, and 1.5 million metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 15-16 marketing year. Conagra's Foods profit plunged in its November quarter as the company took a large write-off on its struggling private label segment. The company posted earnings of $10 million, or 2 cents a share, down from $248.7 million, or 59 cents a share a year earlier. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 17,490, up 198 points. The NASDAQ 4213, up 53.5. The S&P 500 is 2,033. It is up almost 25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will likely experience a little bit of a warmer bias to the temperatures for the next several days, and at the same time not experiencing much in the way of significant precipitation. All of that will change as we move into next week as a much more active weather pattern evolves and temperatures will turn quite a bit colder. Most of the focus of attention in the marketplace today continues to be on a big storm system that's advertised to be over the northeastern part of the Midwest during the Christmas holiday and travel into the Great Lakes region as well as the middle and north Atlantic coastal area could be somewhat tenuous as we get into the middle and especially the latter part of next week. That storm system is too far out in time right now to have a lot of confidence, but a much colder scenario playing out in the middle part of North America will contrast with the warm air that will become trapped along the east coast of the United States, and the result will be a large storm system most likely. The question is, how intense will the storm be and exactly what the timing of that storm will be as well. For the Midwest, though, we are not expecting to see much in the way of storminess across the region. Last night, there was a little wintry mix of precipitation that occurred in the southwestern Corn Belt, and that will linger a little bit today, but it doesn't advance very far into the Midwest itself. We will expect to see most of the precipitation in Missouri, maybe southwestern Illinois, southern Iowa, and eastern Kansas. These areas may pick up another trace to an inch or two of snow, but the precipitation event is falling apart and will cannot make it any further to the east. After that system passes, it should be quiet in the rest of the Midwest until we get out towards the early part of next week. Sunday and Monday in particular, we'll see another disturbance moving across the upper portions of the Midwest. It will generate a little bit of occasional snow. It will be somewhat of a disorganized storm system, at least initially, and then as we move on into Monday and early Tuesday, the system will become a little better organized. Snowfall during the early part of next week will become more significant. We could see accumulations run from 2 to 4 inches from portions of Minnesota and Iowa into the heart of the Great Lakes region. That is the seedling for the much larger storm system that's expected to evolve as we get into the latter part of next week. Wednesday and Thursday at this point looks to be quite stormy across the Great Lakes region, southeastern Canada, and the North Atlantic coastal states. These areas could see that significant snow event evolve, and if it does occur as advertised today, there could be a blizzard and significant amounts of snow as well as heavy rain along the Atlantic coast at times from that storm system. The winds could be quite impressive behind it as well, with colder air pouring into the middle of the country after the system passes. In the meantime, it looks like South America's weather will continue to be mostly favorable. We're going to be seeing quite a bit of rain occurring across a big part of Brazil, and the temperature bias there is going to be a little bit cooler than usual, and the end result of that is going to be basically a slow rate of drying between rain events, and that raises the potential for a little bit of runoff of significance and possible flooding. Now, places like southern Minas Gerais and portions of Sao Paulo, Brazil, are really quite low on water supply, and this scenario that's going to be evolving over the next week will help to improve the water levels. In the meantime, in Argentina, a lot of attention is being paid towards the southern part of the country. It looks like Argentina's south will likely see a net drying biased environment, even though some rain will occur briefly tomorrow into Saturday. After that, it won't rain for a week, and temperatures will be kind of cool over the weekend and then turn much warmer later next week. The end result is going to be a little bit of a decline in soil moisture. No serious crop stress is advertised quite yet, but maybe in January if rainfall does not improve prior to that point. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat is 693 and a quarter, up 11 and three quarters. Soft March wheat, 659, up 10 and a half. March corn, 409 and three quarters, now a half, up one and a quarter. May, 418, up 1.5. July, 424 and a half, up 1.25. December, 433 and three quarters, up 1.75. January soybeans, 1032, up 5. March, 1040 and a half, up 5.25. May, 1047 and three quarters, up 6.75. July, 1053 and three quarters, up 7. January soybean meal, 361.70, up 240, now up 230. January soybean oils, 31.95, up 18. December live cattle, 158, 12 and a half, up 170. January feeders, 217, 12 and a half, they're up 57 and a half. And February lean hogs, 82, 27 and a half, and they are up 180. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Want to start on the livestock side because, by golly, it's been a while since we've seen anything in green in the livestock.
Yeah, it's been kind of just a free fall there of late, and it seems to me that there's got to be some reasons to see this market catch, and here we are. I don't know if we're keen off some good economic ideas, and or if this is just a little bounce, but we certainly started the day very, very oversold, so seeing the market up is a good sign.
And a big discount to cash, too.
Oh, yeah, it is, Dave. And we've seen a little bit of cash trade here this week. I don't know, $6 or $7 below last week's cash trade. So we have a little catching up to do here.
Well, let's go to the wheat market, which continues to rally on, I suppose, news out of Russia.
Yeah, I think it does. Russia says that they're just not going to have as much grain to export and really have only targeted four countries that they will hold on to exports. And those are our wheat, big wheat buyers, whether you're looking at India or Egypt. But still, a lot of business is going to filter to some of the other countries. The supply-demand global situation really doesn't suggest that we'll be able to hold on to wheat rallies for very long. And certainly we filled a gap that we left on the continuation chart when March went up over 652 this week. So we may have done what we need to do at this stage of the game in wheat.
Very quickly, a comment about corn.
Corn market looks to me like it's being dragged up with wheat and doesn't have a whole lot of mind of its own. Certainly this export sale released this morning to unknown destinations is well thought to be an Asian country. But I don't think the wheat market has enough oomph to drag the corn behind it too far.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. March corn, 409 1/4, up 1. July, 424 1/2, up 1 1/4. January beans, 1031 1/4, up 4 1/4. And July at 1053, up 6 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.